Grab your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 12. Again, we are beginning the series called Called Out, where over an 8-week period of time, we're looking at people that have been called out by God and just what happens when God gets a hold of a person's life. And said we're going to look at 7 individuals, and then the 8th, we're going to see how we're called out and what can happen when God gets a hold of our lives. And so, as we think about this, it is a wonderful feeling when we're able to be a blessing to someone else. I will always remember what happened to a friend while I was at the church that ordained me. One of the ladies had brought him a little bit of money to help him and his family, and he's like, I can't take that. And she looked at him and said, "Don't you dare steal my blessing." And I'm like, huh. And that really stuck with him, and it caught him off guard. And she knew that she was being the hands and feet of God at that time. She knew that his family needed some help, and she felt that God wanted her to be the help that they needed. And she wanted to be a blessing, and it turned out that she ended up becoming a bigger blessing than she ever imagined, because that changed his life. She knew what she was doing. In our lives, we have been about to be there to bless and help other people. You know, we've been able to bless other people. We've been able to be blessed in hard times. Also, we've had times when people have been a huge blessing for us. You know, it's interesting, as today marks 5 years for me as pastor here, I think back to when we moved, a family that had like 5 kids got in their van, the mom with the 5 kids, with my wife and daughter, got in their vehicle so that the husband could drive the U-Haul down here so that we could move down here. Talk about a blessing. Amen. You know, blessings come from many different places. Today, we're going to see the story of a blessing that comes when a man is called to leave all that he knows and loves and go somewhere new. Abram would be called out to leave his home, to move far away, and become the father of the Jews. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, the word of God reads, "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" So Abraham departed. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful passage and this transitioning text in Genesis that we see here. And I pray that you would help us to see just how powerful and important and beautiful this text is today. And I pray that you would help us to see that you call us to make a difference. And I pray that I would sit down and that you would stand up. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just come and take over, that you would give me the strength needed to stand and preach your word. I pray that you would hold the cough back. I pray that you would hold everything back that needs to be held back and just remove everything that needs to be removed. And that you, Holy Spirit, would just come and take over and preach the beauty and power of your truth today, that I would just be a willing vessel. And I pray, Lord, that you would move as only you can. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen. Well, the first thing that we see in our text is get up and go. And so, you know, this is interesting. It says, "Now," verse 1, "the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. And so let's just do a little bit of a recap of what has happened in Genesis to this point to help us to understand how big it is that God is showing up to Abram and calling him to form a nation. In Genesis chapter 6, God says that the world is so wicked that he's going to get rid of all life with breath other than Noah. And so God says he's going to bring the flood and destroy everything. Genesis 7 and 8 is the flood destroying everything. Genesis 9, they come out of the boat, and by verse 21, Noah is already so drunk that he's naked in his tent. Genesis chapter 10 is what we call the Table of Nations, listing all the people that came from Noah. And then in Genesis chapter 11, we've got the Tower of Babel, where the people are trying to build a name for themselves in a tower to heaven. So not a lot has changed since Genesis chapter 6, when God destroyed the earth. We still see the wickedness and rebellion of man. And so then, from this, during this time frame, during this period of time, God shows up to Abram and says, I want you. Now, I want you to leave your land, and I want you to go somewhere that I'm going to show you. Even if you have been to another land, if you've ever been to another land, you know just how different things can be. You know, I've been to 3 different countries. I've been to Ecuador, I've been to Mexico, and I've been to Wisconsin. Because if you've been to Wisconsin, it's like a different country. But, you know, if you've been to another country, you know how different things are. Excuse me. It's soda, don't worry. So, something about Mountain Dew that helps my cough. I don't know what it is, but it always has. And so, then let's put this on it, okay? So, when you go to a different country, money is different. Measurements are different. Sometimes the side of the road that you drive on is even different. Now let's add into the mix that when God shows up to Abram, he's about 75 years old. Genesis chapter 12 is taking place when Abram is about 75. And so, how would some of you feel if after living your whole life here, that God says, I want you to leave your land. I want you to get up, leave, and go somewhere else. I want you to go somewhere different. The fact that Abram was 75 shows that we're never too old for God to call us. One commentary says, Abraham was 75 years old when God called him, so age doesn't need to be an obstacle to faith.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Our age should never be an obstacle to our faith. I like to say, you're never too young, you're never too old. Like my 6-year-old, one of her favorite things to do when she comes in here, usually I try to get over here on Sunday mornings before everybody else. It doesn't always happen. But she loves to walk through the church, and she's got it down to art now. She knows every light switch to turn on. And it was a little funny. She wasn't here today because she's got a little bit of the cold too. And so when not all the lights got turned on, I was like, I couldn't find those other lights. I was like, yeah, my little sidekick's not here to help me this morning. But you're never too young to learn to serve and minister in the church. And you know, she just thinks it's the greatest thing in the world. I get to turn the lights on at the church.
Yes.
She even knows which one controls the cross now. And so you're never too young, but at the same time, you're never too old to serve God. For many of us, though, the call to leave our land would not be easy. Most of us don't even like to leave Hampton, myself included, let alone South Carolina or the United States of America. Well, leave your country. That's not the end of the call. Let's continue to look at this call. God shows up and says, I want you to leave your country. That's hard enough. Now he says, I want you to leave your people. Abram, I want you to leave your family and your friends. Abram, you could take your wife. So Abram goes with Abram. So Abram goes, his wife goes, his cousin Lot goes, and his servants go. The rest of his friends and family would stay behind. This can be hard on both the one who goes and the one who stays behind. The one who stays behind can feel rejected or unimportant. The one who goes can feel they are letting people down. However, when God calls, the best thing that we can do is step out on faith. Sometimes we have to leave people behind that we love and care about in order to be the men and women that God has called us to be.
Yes, help us, Jesus.
Amen. And that's hard for people to understand sometimes. Sometimes we have to leave people that we love to be what God has called us to be. Here in Genesis chapter 12, God tells Abram, I want you to leave your family. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says, the one who loves a father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. The one who loves a son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Let me get a cough drop. Don't worry, Vaughn, it's not a button. During Sunday school, Miss Vaughn warned me, do not accidentally put in a button. Mark chapter 10, truly I tell you, Jesus said, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sister or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will not receive 100 times more. Now, at this time, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children's fields with persecutions and eternal life in the age to come. So in all these passages, what we see is sometimes we have to leave people behind in order to follow God.
Amen.
And that's what Abram was going to have to do. He was going to have to leave behind his father's house in order to follow after God. What makes this even more amazing is when we understand that God calls Abram out of a pagan family to make him something new and take him somewhere new and to make him something great. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 2, when Joshua is speaking to the people, he says, Joshua said to all the people, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshiped other gods. And so we clearly see that the heritage of Abraham's family is that of a pagan. And so God shows up to Abram and says, I want you, you're going to put behind all this pagan stuff. I want you to leave this country that's full of pagan idolatry and pagan rituals. I want you to leave your family, and I'm going to show you where to go. I'm going to show you somewhere new. God chose where he wanted Abraham to go. Go from your land, your family, to the place I will show you. Here's something to think about. When Abram left, he didn't even know where he was going yet. You know, how many of us, we have to have the map, have everything planned out. It's like, all right, we're going to do this for the church. How are we going to do it? What's every single step in the process? We just said we were going to do it. It'll work out. Well, we got to have a plan in place. God said, do it. That's all the plan I need. When Abram left, he didn't even know where he was going. God has this great plan for Abram's life. And you know, God has a great plan for our lives too. And when we do what he tells us, we will be blessed. God promises to Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I've seen this firsthand this week in my life. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was God who called me here to pastor this church. I know that. The way God put everything into place, the way everything has happened, I stand before you today, 5 years as pastor. Today is the 5th year anniversary, and I'm ready for another 5. I hope you are. Some of you maybe, but we'll see. We'll see what God has in store. But yeah, You know, I know God called me here.
Amen.
Not because I'm the best looking. We know that ain't true. Not because I'm the best speaker. Not because I'm the most talented. You know, we found out a couple Sundays ago, Frank didn't even know I had any talent. The reason I'm here is because God is God. It has nothing to do with me. God called me here. What does this have to do with everything? When you step out on obedience, God will always bless. This week, as most of you know, my family and I have been pretty sick. Praise the Lord, I've made it past the contagious stage. So even though I still have a cough, I'm no longer classified as contagious. But this is the sickest I have felt in over 6 years. My family and I have been blessed and overwhelmed by the love and support that we have seen from y'all this week. From the people that have dropped stuff off. From the people that have texted and called. And I am very honored and proud to be your all's pastor. And I can say this morning. I feel blessed to be your pastor. And I am so glad that I obeyed God when he said go. So I'll tell you just how bad this sickness has been. You guys know how I am. There was a day this week when I didn't even read my Bible. Don't tell the preacher. You know how he gets when you don't read your Bible every day. You know how he talks about we need to read our Bibles every day? Yeah, so don't let that get back to him. But that's how, yeah. God called me. I came. And I've been blessed by y'all. This is what God is telling Abraham. I want you to go somewhere new. I had no clue where Hampton was. Now I would, for the wrong reasons. I had no clue. But God did.
Amen.
Abram did not know what to expect where he was going, just that God was in it.
Right.
He didn't know what to expect, but he knew God was in it. I don't know. I didn't know what to expect when I got here. And guys, again, I share this story, but I want you to understand that it is the hand of God that got me here. Because when I came down and met with the search committee, Cuz drove the van and I still came. And anyone that's ridden in a van with Cuz understands what I mean. Yeah. You know, I didn't know what to expect. It's like I come walking in, the first person I see is like, "Hi, I'm Cuz." I'm like, "What kind of name is Cuz?" Yeah, but we don't always need to know where we're going. I bring all that to say this. We don't need to know all the details of what's there. We don't need to know every detail of where we're going. All we need to know that God's there. All we need to know is that God has already prepared the way. God has already put everything into place and that God is in the details. At times, we get in our own heads and can talk ourselves out of blessings.
That's right. Amen.
I wonder how many blessings I've talked myself out of when I should have just said, "Yes, Lord."
Amen.
Because what has a tendency to happen, God will say, "Can you, again, imagine 75 years old. I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave your country, and I want you to go somewhere new, and I ain't even going to tell you where it is yet. Oh, and you're not even going to be the one that gets there. It's going to happen to your family 450 years later after they wander in after they've been in captivity for Egypt. What? Well, love Abraham. He just goes. Sometimes we just need to go. We may not like change or going in a different direction, but by being like that, we may be missing an awesome blessing. What if we are missing blessings because we're too afraid to get up and go? God simply asks us to trust in His promises that He will go with us. So the first thing that we see is get up and go. The second thing we see is you're not alone. I love verses 2 and 3. I will. And notice the number of times that God says, I will. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. Or I will make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Look at these beautiful promises. God shows up and says, Abram, go. But you're not going alone. Because I'm going with you, and I'm going to bless you. In the process of asking Abram to step out in faith, God promises some wonderful blessings. He says, I will make you a great nation. Abram would have a son named Isaac. Isaac would have a son named Jacob. Jacob's name would later be changed to Israel. Abram is a great nation, for he is the nation of Israel. A nation loved and protected by God. A nation that God still has awesome plans for today. A nation that one day God will once again restore. God said, I will make you a great nation, and Israel is a great nation. And so we see that God kept His promise to Abraham. He says, you'll be famous, Abraham. Amen. He says, I will make your name great. When it comes to the great names in the Bible, Abraham is a common name. And it is still a common name in the Jewish world. It is safe to say that God has made Abram's name great. Oh, and if you being a great nation and having a great name is not enough, they're going to be blessings. Amen. Who likes blessings? Yes. I love some blessings. Yes. We all love to be blessed. He says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And so God is saying, Abraham, the way people treat you, that's how I'm going to treat them. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's why I have learned the hard way. I am very careful about what I say about another pastor, because they are God's called and chosen. And so he says, I will bless or curse. God calls Abraham to leave all he knows and loves, but he promises to bless. And then we see it. Then we see the turning point of all of history. Then we see the most powerful part of Genesis chapter 12. Now let's think about what has been going on. In Genesis chapter 6, the world is so wicked that God destroys it all. In Genesis chapter 7 and 8, you got the flood. And then 9, you know, Noah's drunk. And then in chapter 11, all this evil, all this wickedness, it seems like it just continues to grow and grow and grow and grow. And then God calls out to Abraham and says, I want you to go. And then we see this. If you don't see anything else this morning, see this. Abraham, you're going to bless the whole earth. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This part of these verses takes things to a whole nother level. Why? Matthew 1 verse 1, an account of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. The entire earth is blessed in Abraham because the Savior of the world comes from Abraham.
Hallelujah.
God says the entire world will be blessed through you. Promise check, Jesus came. The greatest blessing that would come from Abram's obedience is the promise of the Savior that would come from his line. It would be from Abraham that Jesus would come. Jesus is the Messiah who would go to the cross, shed his blood, die, all to offer us salvation. It is in the name of Jesus and Jesus alone that all men may be saved. And so there is hope for all mankind. There is hope for all humanity. There is hope for blessing for all people, because true blessing comes when we say yes to Jesus, and that can only happen through the seed of Abraham.
Amen.
God promises, God fulfills. And so this is incredible as we see the God that we love and the God that we serve. And again, as we look at these characters, as we look at these individuals, Abraham was just a normal, ordinary, average person. Last Sunday, we looked at Noah. He was just a normal, ordinary, average person. We're going to look at Paul. We're going to look at Nathaniel. We're going to look at Matthew, the tax collector. These are normal, ordinary people that God used. And you and I, we're just normal, ordinary people. But I promise you, God ain't changed. And God can still use us. It's in the name of Jesus that all can be saved. And so, since Jesus is the way to be saved, and to be saved is the greatest blessing you can ever get, the earth is blessed through the line of David. It is in Christ that the whole world is blessed. Abram, you go, but I'm going to go with you. I'm going to bless you, and you're going to bless the world. Talk about motivation. And then the only thing left to do is follow in obedience. First part of verse 4. So Abraham departed. I love that. He got up and went as God said. I love the simplicity of verse 4. Abraham departed. One study Bible says, prompt obedience grounded in faith characterized this patriarch throughout his life. Abraham is known for his obedience. Yes, he did have some times he got ahead of himself, but when God called him to do something, he was one to obey. Genesis 12:4. So Abram departed. Genesis 15:6. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited to him as righteousness. Genesis chapter 17, verse 23 and 24. So Abraham took his son Ishmael and those born in his household, or purchased every male among the members of Abraham's household, and he circumcised the flesh of their foreskin on that very day, just as God had said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when the flesh of his foreskin was circumcised. Dude obeyed God to the point he was circumcised at 99. That is obedience. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, here I am, he answered. Take your son, he said, your only son Isaac, whom you love. Go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. So Abraham got up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took with him two of his young men and his son Isaac. He split wood for the burnt offering and set out to go to the place God had told him about. Abraham obeyed. Hebrews 11:8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and set out for a place where he was going to receive as an inheritance. He went out, even though he did not know where he was going. When God said go, Abraham didn't know where that would be. God said he would show him, and Abraham simply stepped out on faith. Abram follows in obedience, and how awesome is the story of Abraham? How incredible is the life of Abraham, the difference that Abraham made? So as we close this morning, I want to ask us, how is our get up and go when God calls? Now, Abraham, God showed up to Abraham and says, I want you to go. How's our get up and go? I believe that the time has come for the people of God to talk more about the need to obey God. I think it's time where we start talking more that we are called to obedience. Faith and obedience go hand in hand. We need to understand that obedience is a response of faith. Obedience is the proof of the faith that has taken place. When people step out in obedience to the call that God has placed on their lives, then we need to support each other all the way. When our brothers and sisters in Christ say, you know, God has called me to do this, we need to support them. And sometimes it can be hard because that might mean they have to move somewhere else. Well, it's not about you, it's about God. And sometimes, I've not really shared this, but before Ella was ever born, I've always believed, and I hope I'm right, and I know it's going to be hard if I am, I've always believed that one day she's going to grow up and be one of them overseas missionaries. I hope so, but at the same time, whew. But if so, she's got to follow God. She's got to do what God says. And so when people step up and say, I believe God's called me to do this, support them. Amen. Don't tear them down. Don't discourage them. They're going to face enough opposition once they get there. Okay. What I want to challenge us with today is two things. When God calls, how is our get up and go? Has our get up and go done got up and went? When God calls, are we ready to serve? I know some people are like, well, I'm just old and don't have any energy. Abram was 75 years when God called him. He was 99 years when he was circumcised. He was 100 when he had Isaac. We can't use that excuse anymore. When God calls, how's our get up and go? Do we argue? Do we debate? Or do we simply say, yes, Lord? And my second challenge, are we following God's lead? Or are we trying to get him to follow our lead? God said, Abraham, I'm going to show you where I want you to go. It could have been easily. You know, think of when the angels rescued Lot, and Lot's like, please don't make me go to that land. Let me go here. God told Abraham, I'll show you. And Abraham's like, okay. Are we letting God lead, or are we trying to lead God? Are we following his lead in our lives? Abram followed God. He did not make excuses. He just got up and went. We need to go where God is. We need to go where God is. Abraham is called out at 75, became a great name. He became a great nation, and he blessed the entire world. And he simply just trusts God. As we continue to look at the lives of these individuals that God called out for great things, we are reminded that God is still the same. We may never have a name as great as Abram. We may never be a great nation. But we can bless the world with the awesome name of Jesus. Because the only name that you and I need to make great is Jesus. We don't need to make the name of Hopewell First Baptist Church great. We need to make the name of Jesus great. We don't need to make our individual name great. We need to make the name of Jesus great. And that's what it's all about. And so we may not be a great nation. I mean, that'd be kind of cool. The nation of Feasterville. You know, it never happened. And that's okay. But you know what? Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about a nation called heaven. Let me tell you about a place that's reserved there for those who give their hearts and their lives to Jesus. There's a lot that we might not be able to do, but we can still tell people about Jesus. So what is God saying to us today? Maybe it's time for a change. God said, Abram, I want you to get up. I want you to go somewhere else. I'm not telling y'all to go somewhere else. I don't want none of y'all to go nowhere else. But it may be time for a change. Yeah? Maybe it's time that we try something new. Maybe it's time we try something different. I don't know. Sometimes God says, do it. Number two, what blessings are we seeing? I want you to look at your life and ask yourself, what blessings am I seeing? Now I want you to ask the hard question, what blessings am I missing? What blessings am I missing? And finally, is it time to step up and step out? It's time to obey. You know, the saying goes, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Don't matter if you believe it or not, if God said it, it's settled. Amen. And you know, we need to get to the point where we say, you know what? The Bible says it, that's good enough for me. I love this. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country. Get out from your family and your father's house to a land I will show you. So Abraham departed. Today, the nation of Israel still plays a vital role in the people of God. And so God keeps his promises. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this text. And Lord, I thank you for